In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Looks can be deceiving. How something appears may not be how it truly is. There may be more to something than what meets the eye. It's as the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover. Because outward appearances are only part of the story. If we judged a book by its cover, we'd probably miss out on something beautiful. For example, if you've ever seen those singing shows like American Idol or America's Got Talent, you've more than likely seen someone perform who, whenever they walk up to the stage before they started singing, for whatever reason, you didn't think they had a good voice. Whether that be because they seemed too old, or they were short, or they were stout, or whatever it may be about their appearance. But when they started to sing, it was unexpected, and it was beautiful. Could we say the same thing about our worship in church? Is there something more going on than what meets the eye? Can we judge the church service by the outward appearance of it? Our senses perceive a material, physical interaction by singing hymns and praying and hearing a guy say some words. All the meanwhile, we're surrounded by four wood-paneled walls. Windows surround our space, letting light into the sanctuary. Vestments and altar pyramids add a pop of color. Children squirm in the pews. And some see the church service as something boring and materialistic. And that's all they see. You may see them on their phones trying to engage into a different reality than what's before them. It all seems like ordinary stuff. We see it week in and week out. But is there anything more going on than this ordinary gathering of people each week? Our readings for All Saints Day clue us into the answer. First, let's look to the gospel reading. Here, Jesus began preaching the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. And these verses, they read like little proverbs, little bits of wisdom. But these wise sayings indicate something so foreign to how we experience life. As we go through our earthly lives, we don't typically associate poverty with richness, mourning with comfort, meekness with inheritance, hunger and thirst with satisfaction, giving mercy with receiving mercy, confession of failures with seeing a holy God, being peaceable people with exaltation to the divine family, and persecution with kingdom rewards. These little proverbs seem so distant from what we perceive and experience. In our sinful world, in our sinful kingdoms, meekness isn't rewarded, but it's squashed. Admitting faults and failures ends with extermination. Giving mercy is hardly ever reciprocated with receiving mercy. Peace is overtaken by evil and division. Jesus isn't describing the world that I live in. So what world is he describing? Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and all its beauty. These blessings are given only in his kingdom. Jesus uses the word blessed to describe the fortunes that come with this kingdom. Fortunes that, yes, you will receive upon your bodily death when your spirit is at rest with God, before you await the bodily resurrection. But also, these aren't just far-off promises. But these are fortunes that you have now. You have the kingdom of heaven in all its blessings right now. And one beatitude that we especially recognize on this day, being All Saints' Day, is blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus promises this to those in the kingdom of heaven, even as it's expressed among you right now here on earth, centered around the cross of Christ. Yes, mourning will happen. It's a part of life. It's a part of death. We mourn those whom we have lost, those whom we love. Whether it be a spouse or a family member or a friend, it's hard. Especially for those who hold to the Christian faith. Because Christ our Lord in his divine love binds all his children together. So whenever that bond is broken by death, weeping is the appropriate response. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to weep. It would be strange not to. I've once heard it before at funerals that crying showed a lack of faith, an unbelief that they were actually in heaven. What nonsense. Mourning is the faithful response. Just as Jesus himself mourned at the death of his friend Lazarus. But we must always keep in mind that we mourn as people who have an eternal hope. And the good news of God's kingdom is that those who mourn will be comforted. Why? Because they have the kingdom of heaven which comes to them in Christ. The kingdom of which they see on earth, but also the kingdom of which they don't see yet. There's more to the kingdom of heaven than what meets the eye. And our reading from Revelation shows us how. The scene from Revelation is really quite spectacular. God chose to reveal to St. John a glimpse of heaven in our reading for today. And what does St. John see in the kingdom of heaven? Quite frankly, he saw a worship service happening in heaven. People from all tribes and nations and languages, clothed in white robes, waving palm branches in hand, they were praising God and the Lamb who sits on the throne of heaven. All the angels and archangels and all the inhabitants of heaven worshiped God on his throne. And who's there? Who are those people from the reading who are dressed in those white robes? That's those who have died in faith and who rest in Christ. Those who have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, including our deceased loved ones who have died in the faith. God's faithful children have exchanged their filthy rags with white, holy garments, without spot or blemish. These robes they wear are their new garments that they got from their baptism, where they put on Christ like putting on a robe. They were washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, who is Christ our Lord, the once and for all Passover sacrifice for sin. He's the one who shelters these ones coming out of the great tribulation with his presence. He fills their hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wipes every tear from their eyes. These folks in heaven find refuge in these provisions of the heavenly kingdom. All right, so what does this all have to do with church now, the church service now? The point is that Revelation is not a far-off reality. It's a reality that comes to us right here, right now. We have the slain lamb from Revelation before us right now in the Lord's Supper. His body, his blood, as the once and for all sacrifice to cleanse, restore, and bond us one to another. Both here in time and there in eternity. Through Christ's death and his resurrection, the kingdom of heaven comes to you. And so in worship, the words of our liturgy from the proper preface come to life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify and praise you, saying. And so there's more here going on than what meets the eye. There are more than just the people that you see. There are more than just the voices that you hear singing these praises. All the angels and archangels are here with you. All the company of heaven, including your loved ones who've died in faith, are here with you. They are singing the same heavenly song that you sing. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Blessing, glory, honor, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Most importantly, the object of your unified worship with heaven is before you on this altar. For Christ our Lord says that this is not merely just bread and just wine. It's his body, his blood. He's here, on his throne, in his heavenly kingdom, manifested here on earth to shelter you. This Passover lamb comes to strengthen, renew, and keep you steadfast in the heavenly gifts in a very, very real way. We may not perceive it as much with the eyes, but guys, this is real. It really happens every Sunday. Heaven comes to earth every Sunday. And this is what I tell those who've lost their loved ones. That here in the divine service, your loved ones who've departed in faith are near to you because of the one whom you share, Jesus Christ our Lord. I once counseled a widowed woman before coming here to Zion. She'd previously lost her husband that previous year, and she was still struggling with the loss. But she told me the most profound, faithful confession I've ever heard. She said, "I feel closest to my husband when I take communion at church." This is no pop psychology, make you feel better thing that she tells herself to help cope with her loss. It's a recognition out of faith that Jesus brings heaven to earth through his body and blood. He brings heaven along with all the saints who rest in him. So she was right. her husband was very close to her, because Christ on his throne sheltered them both underneath his protection. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's more to this meal than what meets the eye. There's more to the divine service than what meets the eye. There's more to bread and wine than what meets the eye. The kingdom of heaven is here, because Jesus is here. And he's giving you everything he promised from the gospel reading. Comfort, inheritance, satisfaction, reception of mercy, peace, and the kingdom of heaven as it manifests itself here on the kingdom of earth. And may we be comforted in the presence of Christ our King, now and always. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.